Hello, and welcome to the Nourish, Balance, Thrive podcast. Surprise! I'm your host today, Julie Kelly, in for Christopher Kelly. He thought that it would be a great idea for me to do this interview as I am the chief, the CCO of our house, the chief cooking officer of our house, and also the chief coaching officer, nutritional coaching officer of our business. And today I'm joined by two wonderful women who I respect immensely. Angie Ault and Mickey Trescott are here today to talk about, among other things, their new beautiful book, The Autoimmune Wellness Handbook. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Yes.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
It's wonderful. You know, the first thing that always comes to my mind whenever I review or look at a new resource for autoimmune paleo is just, I just immediately get transported back to when Chris and I were starting this whole thing, when he was still really sick and he had just come home from the gastroenterologist who basically gave him two options. I can put you on steroids or we can do a colonoscopy and, you know, give you a different diet, try to give you a diagnosis if you want to do some other kind of treatment. And Chris came home and told me that. And I was just like, there has to be another way. And so, I mean, I just said, did they even ask what you were eating? And he said, no. So I was just like, okay, that's it. We're going a different route. And so then I just started kind of digging around. And at that time there was maybe, and this is like almost four and a half years ago now, I found, you know, Sarah Ballantyne's site, the Paleo Mom. And, you know, shortly after that, Mickey, I think, you know, we met you and found, you know, you were just writing your first book. And so it was just kind of this like tiny little puny community of people just starting to talk about this stuff. And so now looking at, you know, this beautiful book that you guys have written, I'm just so relieved for people. You know, what was it that how do you guys set out to write this book in particular? Because it is different, but I'll let you tell me why it's different and why you guys set out to write this book particularly.
Yeah. So this is Mickey here and I'll start. And actually I think, you know, the opportunity for the book started because Angie and I decided to merge. So back when that tiny little community was just kind of starting, Angie and I were both blogging about our personal experiences. And a couple years in, we had developed this deep friendship and kind of a working relationship. And we kind of went to each other like, hey, I'm kind of over here doing the Facebook and, you know, social media newsletter, blogging rat race. And so are you. What if we combined forces and kind of put our best work forward, but collaborate so that we can kind of achieve a bigger vision with our website and kind of what we're offering the community. And so we did this blog merge and we became partners and we launched a new autoimmunepaleo.com. And that's what we were working on when we were approached by a publisher who actually requested that we write a book for them. And the book they wanted us to write was a cookbook with meal plans and recipes. Mm. And we were like, that's great, except there are now six AIP cookbooks and recipes. And actually, we believe that we have a deeper mission with what we're trying to accomplish, sharing information about autoimmune healing. And it's not just about food. So would you guys be open to hearing a proposal for another book? And so that's when Angie and I, you know, we hadn't really thought, oh yeah, we're totally going to write a book together. Mm. But when we had that connection, we went, oh, this is a really good opportunity. You know, the publisher is Rodale, which is a great publisher in the wellness space. And we sat down and put our thinking caps on and really created this vision for what we wanted to create. And they loved it.
Wow. That's cool.
To revolution to the,
yeah. I was going to ask, you know, how the website came about, because it's definitely one of my favorite resources to point, you know, people that I work with to when they're just starting out with AIP, because just the resources that you guys have kind of put together. And I think it was a brilliant idea to come together because you just kind of bring a lot to the table as a group. You guys were both dynamos in your own right, but to come together and put the website together, I think it's a really fabulous resource. I love sharing it with people. But, you know, who is this book aimed at? Because, you know, do you think it's for everyone starting AIP? Do you think that, you know, it's for people that maybe are a little bit more savvy about AIP? Maybe they've heard of it before, they've done it. Who do you think this book really speaks to?
This is Angie. Our hope is that, you know, our familiar community, which, like, you know, as you, when you were starting out, it was still small. It's how big it is now. So hopefully our community that's already familiar with AI will find something valuable here. You know, hopefully little pieces of resources in there that just make it easier for them. But we hope that it's laid out in a way and organized in a way that it's really approachable for somebody who's brand new, somebody who, you know, maybe just got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, or maybe doesn't even have a diagnosis. Maybe they're just suspecting that that's what's wrong. But it's laid out in a way that just makes it so much more realistic and achievable for them to try this method of healing. You know, like, it's what we wish we would have had when we got diagnosed.
Yeah. And can you guys walk us through this a little bit? Because it is, I mean, I've already heard you guys say a couple of times now, it's not just about the food. And I think that that's, I always say to people, you know, it starts with food, but it doesn't end there. And I think that that's, you know, really important. And one of the things I really liked about this book specifically was that food was almost kind of not an afterthought, but it was secondary to all of the other things that come along with, you know, what you need to do, the changes you need to make, and the things you need to consider when you're going to try to, you know, take on this kind of holistic approach to healing, whether you have a specific autoimmune condition, like you said, Angie, or you're using this as a really like a healing diet. Because I know, you know, we work with a lot of athletes specifically. So in terms of athletes who are, you know, high performance athletes specifically, they, you know, they're training constantly, sometimes really hard. And so they have this issue where they've got, you know, a compromised gut because they're constantly having, you know, changing the blood flow to their stomach during their high intensity training, and their gut permeability is altered. And so, you know, we use AIP a lot in our practice because, you know, some of these people have just done so much damage to their gut, or they have prolonged damage, or they have to mitigate the damage that they will continue to put, or in stress they'll continue to put on their gut. And we find AIP really useful as a healing diet, you know, not for forever, but to jumpstart their healing process. So what are some of the things, like the other things that people have to consider? I mean, they're dedicated chapters in your book, so I'll let you guys walk me through. You know, what do people often miss when they're starting about AIP? Because I think they put the food blinders on and then they miss all this other stuff. So what are some of those other things?
Yeah, so this is an awesome question. We're so happy you addressed it, Julie. But, you know, you'll notice there are seven main steps or chapters in our book, and only one of them is food. So when we sat down to write, we were thinking, you know, what are all the areas that people should address? And then we'll create chapters for each one. And we were kind of having a hard time figuring out what to call the chapters and, you know, how to organize it. And Angie had this incredible dream where she had all of these verbs to really signify which actions you'll be taking on each step of the process. So the seven steps are inform, collaborate, nourish, rest, breathe, move, and connect. And so nourish is the chapter about food, and it's the longest chapter, to be honest. But, you know, we have these six other chapters that talk about all the other things that we've found are helpful in healing from autoimmune disease. So, you know, starting with inform, that's just learning about your condition, learning about the testing, the treatment, the prognosis. If you don't have a diagnosis, why having one is really important, how to get that diagnosis. These are things that a lot of people, especially those that have been suffering for a very long time without a diagnosis, have a hard time with, because they need to be able to decide when to move forward with that medical piece and when to continue seeking a diagnosis, or when to decide, you know, I guess I'm going to try to make some changes on my own and see where that gets me. But all of that information is just really important to guide wherever you're going. Mm. Do you want to talk about collaborate, Angie?
Yeah. So the collaborate step is kind of, it's a really tricky piece, right? Mm. And I'm sure this is true even for the, you know, very serious athletes in your audience who know they need some support, but they're not kind of sure where to go about it. It's all about, you know, forming a healthcare team around mm-hmm. you, who are going to be the key players on that team, who are the support players, you know, the process of actually putting that together. Because, you know, Mickey and I are definitely not putting forward a message that's, you know, it's food only, you know, natural self-led methods only. We think that a smart approach is combination of the best of, traditional healthcare and the natural stuff that you can take on your own, those steps that you can do on your own. So Collaborate is all about trying to build that team. And again, you know, really reflective of how much trial and error we went through personally. And if we had had that a little more laid out for ourselves, it might have been a little less painful of a process in the beginning.
Yeah, gosh, I know Chris and I talk about this all the time, and that we just got really lucky, right? You know, there's lots of places when you're sick and you're looking for answers. There's lots of places you can start, right? You just start Googling and you find something and you start and you try. And I think a lot of times if you start with the food, you can make pretty good headway if you just, you know, cut a few things out, which is that, but then you slowly can plateau and you can find, you know, that you get stuck very easily. So, you know, having this other information and building the team, I think is such an important point. And that's actually one of my most highlighted chapters that I really love that you guys outlined that, because I think you're right. I think that is one of the most tricky things is, you know, who can I go to for help? You know, especially because we find a lot of people come to us because they've really struggled with their, you know, primary care physician. They've found them completely, you know, almost completely useless in a lot of cases. And so, you know, so they're having to do a lot more legwork to find people that can help them and put a team together. So I think that's extremely a useful chapter. And it's just a great way of thinking about your health, you know, which is one of the things that we always try to do is empower people to own their wellness again. Because I think in today's society, we've all kind of, not all of us, clearly we've been through this already, but a lot of people come to us and they're just realizing that you can't outsource your health. You know, you can't think of it like, oh, if I'm ill, I just go to the doctor and they make me well. Like, you own your health and your health is part of you. And if you're not, you know, actively engaged in forming, you know, this kind of healthcare or wellness team, you know, you're probably not going to have the same kind of outcomes, positive outcomes that you will have if you do take an active role in it. So I think that's hugely important. I'll let you guys get back to the steps in a second, but, you know, building this team, where do you think that most people struggle when they're trying to, like, what's a big stumbling block in this section? Because I think one thing that we get hit with a lot is people aren't quite prepared to spend money on their health outside of what insurance covers. And, you know, I'm just wondering if there's other stumbling blocks as well that you see, maybe, you know, just in working with people over the years, that you've seen people really kind of struggle with when they get to this point of trying to build a healthcare team.
Yeah, I think the biggest is just realizing what a primary need for care is with their particular autoimmune disease. So, like, I have Hashimoto's disease and I really need thyroid medication. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, it's hard for people that want to go see a naturopath, for instance, or a nutritional therapist or health coach in a state where, you know, a naturopath can't prescribe thyroid medications or, you know, nutritionists can't anywhere. So just realizing kind of the basic need of your disease, a lot of people get lost and, well, maybe if I find, you know, a functional medicine practitioner or a chiropractor or these people that advertise their services as autoimmune friendly, which there are many practitioners out there, but if those practitioners can't give them a very basic need, they might need to kind of divide and conquer. They might need to have, you know, the MD that prescribes the medication and then also loop in this functional medicine person that's kind of helping on other stuff. And so what we've done in our book is really given people a breakdown of all these different even medical specialties and licenses and different types of practitioners, all the way down to like a Pilates teacher, just so that people can understand the different areas that they can find support and where they should start. And I always encourage people to start with like that basic need. Like for me, it's my thyroid hormone. You know, I love having my functional medicine people on my team, but those aren't the people that can actually prescribe me that medication that my body needs. And so I have to have an MD on my team. So yeah, we talk
and
a lot
I think,
about that.
You know, and I think to add to it, Julie, is what you touched on just a minute ago. I think the other big stumbling block in this area of Collaborate is taking the lead. People don't realize that, you know, the hard truth is you have to be the one responsible for leading your healthcare team. You know, you're going to be the one who's probably going to coordinate the communication. You're the one who's going to do the legwork and go interview those providers and find the right matches for you. And, you know, you got to own it.
Yeah. I think that that's hugely important. I mean, and that's one of the one of the ways that we decide, you know, in our practice who we're going to work with, because, you know, I'm not going to, what happens when our protocol is over, when our program is done, you know, if you're just going to go back to the beginning and you're not going to be able to carry this forward, then it's not sustainable and it's not going to be good for me and it's not going to be good for you. So really making sure that the people that we take on are ready and able to come to the table kind of to learn and to grow and to, you know, become that kind of leader of their own, you know, healthcare team or wellness team or whatever you want to call it. That is just so hugely important. But I don't want to get too off track here because I'm going to get too involved in each of these little nuances. So the next chapter is Nourish, which, you know, I'll hand it back over to you. But one of the things I wanted to talk about with Nourish was one of the things that I find most difficult working with people, getting them started on AIP is I work with a lot of type A people who are like, oh, no problem. I'll start it on Monday. And I'm always like, okay, I want you to start it maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now. Put it on the calendar, your start date. And in the meantime, I want you to spend time reading. I want you to spend time understanding, checking out these resources. How do you break down Nourish for people so that they understand kind of the complexity and the, I don't even know the right word, but understand AIP in a way that they're going to make the full use of their time doing AIP, because I always feel like I'm worried that people are going to start and not, you know, get the most out of it. Cause I always try to treat it like a little bit of a science experiment. You're trying to understand how these foods affect you once you've removed them, and you need to pay careful attention and all of that. So how does this, this Nourish chapter break it down for people to kind of, you know, baptize them in AIP, if you will.
Do you want to tackle that one, Mickey?
Sure. Yeah. So I really think that we've broken it down in a way that gives people a lot of options. I think when people look at the Automain protocol, they like to see the black and white list of yes and no, and I have to do it this way. But in reality, there's many different ways to arrive there. And so we have options for the people that want that rip off the Band-Aid, do it tomorrow approach. And we also have a slow transition guide, which is more like, you know, what you are suggesting, Julie, that you do with your clients, which is to take, you know, even 5-6 weeks to kind of gradually dip their toes in the water and start develop some skills in meal planning and preparation and really taking time to see, like, okay, where are nuts and seeds in my diet? Like, I know that they're lurking in all of these things that I might be eating, or, you know, eggs or something like that. It's just very hard for people to just in 3 days understand the concepts of Automain protocol and do it. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that some people haven't done it before, but, you know, we like to give options for people. And then also for the can't do the Automain protocol, maybe free dairy free is a good option for them just because of finances or overwhelm or other family, you know, a big household with lots of kids eating different things. There's all kinds of reasons why people wouldn't be able to just jump into the Automain protocol. And we want to respect people where they're at and what they're capable of and realize that a step in the right direction is better than no step at all, you know?
Yeah, better is better.
Yeah, that's important to remember, I think. Just because the nature of the people that I tend to work with are like all or nothing kind of jump in and with both feet kind of people that they're almost like hard on themselves, you know, that, you know, they should be able to accomplish this thing very quickly. And so it's good that there's options in there, because I think that opens people's eyes to the fact that, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak, so that you can, you know, really kind of customize this to fit where you are, especially because I think sometimes people start it and then they realize, oh, wow, this is a little bit more involved than I had anticipated. I need to take a step back and reassess. So that's really good. I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about the food, though, because I think that that is something that people just, you know, they know that they're going to be prepared for. I think some of these the other chapters that are in this book are what people need to be focused on more. So what comes after nourish? What's the next step?
The next step of the next chapter in the book is move. So this chapter is dedicated to movement and kind of tackling that from the autoimmune perspective. You know, like you were talking about many of the elite athletes you're working with, you know, if someone has a full-blown autoimmune disease, they may find that where they're at on that movement spectrum needs to change, at least temporarily to help with healing, you know, and doing it too much or too little is like a very fine line. And that can be a hard balance to strike with autoimmune disease. You know, I've had clients, you know, that are both underdoing it and overdoing it, and it's negatively impacting their autoimmune disease. And, you know, Mickey and I have had each our own journeys with this area of wellness as well. One thing we really focus on in this chapter is kind of a walking routine as being a great ideal for those with autoimmune disease. You know, it's kind of kills a couple birds with one stone, and it's just really easy to scale up over time. It's a great starting point.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. That's definitely something, you know, I think a conversation, and also in one of the areas where I think, you know, you might need support, right? Like you might need to reach out to somebody and help have them help you figure out what is the right amount of movement and exercise for you, given your current, you know, state, your current health state and your current health goals. That's something that I got through going through your book that I kind of kept coming back to, is that I think it consistently reinforces the point that your health isn't static and your, you know, your current condition isn't static. And so you kind of have to make these decisions based on where you are right now. And that's something that I find people really struggle with, is that they have this overarching goal in their mind about what they want to achieve when they're healthy. But the health in and of itself is often secondary to that goal. And so you kind of have to get them to flip it around a bit and focus more on the health first, and then getting to that secondary goal, then the other one becomes secondary. So, you know, if I've got somebody coming saying, I want to run the Boston Marathon next year, I said, okay, well, that's a great goal. I think that's wonderful. But, you know, I've seen your test results and I don't think that is the goal that we need to be focusing on right now, because, you know, if you were to try to accomplish that goal right now with your health, the way that it is, and you're going to be, you know, twice, maybe three times more poorly than you are currently. So that's one of the things that I wrote down that I liked, was that I think it, you know, maybe not even with coming out and saying it directly, but it kind of with each of these steps, it kind of reinforces that idea that you need to assess where you are right now and, you know, move accordingly, eat accordingly, and, you know, form your team accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our goals with the book was that it gives people enough well laid out information to hopefully restore a baseline of health that's, you know, fingers crossed, much better than where they're starting from. But then also going forward, for the handbook to continue to be useful so that they can recognize that life with autoimmune disease has a lot of ebb and flow, and be able to use the guidance that's there to kind of, you know, open up and, you know, live life to the fullest and have all those big goals when they're in a great spot, and be able to tighten everything down and restore their health when they're in not so great of a spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely has an air of recovery, which is something we talk about a lot, you know, because that's where when, you know, in training and in athletics, it's where your gains are made. Your gains are made in recovery. Like the training is great, but all of the benefit of that training is found in recovery. And so I think that kind of, you know, it's got a nice parallel to what AIP is kind of about as well. I think it's about recovery, and it's not linear, right? There's step forwards, there's steps back. There can be flares, there can just be setbacks. And, you know, having this information to prepare you to tackle those at every step of the way, I think is really great. I might be skipping here. Maybe I'm skipping. What's the next section? Because I had a specific point I wanted to make, but I don't want to skip ahead. So what was the next one? It was move, and then
So actually, Angie's the one that skipped. It's actually nourish and then rest, which is about sleep.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
It doesn't
into that food topic. I forgot what
we did. Oh, yeah.
The first three steps are really sequential, but then the last four are kind of interpretive. Would you agree, Angie?
Yeah, and I think like people will see when they see the book, the assessments in the last several chapters allow people to kind of zero into the areas where they need the most work. That's probably why I went here, you guys, is a Freudian slip.
Got it.
I need the most work and movement myself.
You want to talk about rest?
Yeah. So rest is the chapter about sleep. And, you know, we put sleep after diet just because a lot of what we're doing in our diet isn't effective if we're not sleeping optimally. We know that regeneration, restoration, all of these good things stem from getting great sleep. And people with autoimmune disease tend to have some sort of trouble with sleep. So insomnia is really common, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep for a long enough time, having sleep disrupted by pain is really common. And so we wrote this chapter to basically help people figure out which element of sleep they're having issues with, and then give them some information to help them troubleshoot and get that better quality of sleep.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's just if you're not sleeping, everything else becomes very, very challenging. But that's also, you know, one of the first things, like if we can get people sleeping, then everything else just gets so much easier. So it's definitely an important point. I'm glad that it's in there. One of my favorite sections in the book, though, that I don't think gets talked about enough is the connect section, though. And maybe I'm skipping ahead now. Did I skip one or are we back on track?
We missed breathe, but, you know, sleep and breathe are pretty similar.
Yeah.
Breathe is about stress management, and they really tie in a lot together because it's hard to have one without the other. But basically, you know, all of the things that we do to manage that stress are going to be super impactful to autoimmune healing.
Yeah, I like that you covered the different types of stress as well. I think that that's important because I think people often zone in on one type of stress, but not on the others.
Yeah. Yeah, we love connect. That's what we want to talk about because that's something that's really overlooked. So in, you know, our kind of paleo alternative health functional medicine scene, you know, people are coming around to sleep and stress management and movement and diet, and that's great. But, you know, connection is one of those pieces that I think is a little bit underappreciated in our community, and realizing, you know, both connection with people and with nature. People might think like, oh, that's kind of out there. Like, how does that affect me as an autoimmune person? It really does affect you. There's so much research that shows that people that have great support networks do better in their healing process, and they're so much more well-adjusted and healthier and happier. And people that get time in nature, I mean, the effect on the immune system is just incredibly mind-blowing. What just being outside and being in the forest specifically, that's what I researched for the book, was the Japanese Shinrin-yoku forest bathing, and just how that impacts the immune system. And that's what we're getting at. You know, we're trying to modulate our immune systems. We're trying to get our bodies to chill out on this attack of itself. And both of those things really impact it.
Yeah, I love that. I was going to point that out. Like, I love the new, the front page of your website, that's the Seeking Wellness and Building Community. And I think, you know, community can mean so many different things. But when you invoke, you know, nature and, you know, involving nature into your community, I think needs to be more of a priority for people, because unfortunately, you know, we're very fortunate, and I know where you live, you're very fortunate too. And, you know, when you live in the forest and you live in nature, it's much easier to commune with it. But unfortunately, most people these days don't have that luxury. They have to really kind of make a manual effort to get in the car and go, or, you know, carve out time and put it on the calendar. So, you know, the more we talk about it, I think the better. One of the other things that we've talked about on the podcast before is this idea of social isolation. And I know that this can be, I mean, you guys can speak to this because you've been through, you know, autoimmunity and chronic illness, but, you know, people who are sick are often socially isolated. So, and we know that this can have, you know, huge effects. It's like a negative feedback loop. It can have really negative effects on your health. What are some ways that you guys have found to be most effective for reaching out and building community and becoming less socially isolated, especially when you're suffering with chronic illness, or, you know, even if it's not a full-blown autoimmune condition, you just have, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, and you've got debilitating feelings of, you know, pain and bloating and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, you don't have a diagnosis. How do these people, how do you reach out? How do you build community when you're feeling so poorly?
I mean, I think, you know, Mickey and I would probably say that, you know, looking for some community online and starting in that virtual space, you know, that you can't replace real world relationships. Not everything about your life can be virtual. You know, you need to have real life people there, people that you can hug, you know, people that you can hang out with when you're feeling down, whatever. But I think the online community for Mickey and I played a big role in the beginning. I had a really strong real life support network. I was really lucky with that. But try as they might, most of the people in my real world didn't know what I was going through with autoimmune disease. They didn't really understand it. And reaching out to people online kind of, and that was the first time in my life that I had really considered that you could build relationships there. But reaching out and doing it was dramatic. It helped me so much. And, you know, I mean, I run a program, Sad to AIP in Six, where I teach people over a 6-week period how to adopt the autoimmune protocol. And it's all done online. And when they first start, you know, we just started on Monday at the, you know, the most recent cycle. And when they first start and they get into their groups and they meet all these other men and women who also have these diseases, many of them have the same diagnoses, they're just like, shocked. You always see people commenting, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone. I can't believe this. It's so nice to see all these other people. By the end, usually the thing that they are most grateful for in the process was this chance to connect with all these other people. And they go on and continue supporting each other virtually. I know that the first group that I ever taught is still in contact with each other.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. I mean, we're finding that too. I mean, when we work with somebody and they have these great results and they're feeling really good, you know, they want to share it somehow, you know. And I think their first thing is like, oh, maybe I need to become a practitioner too and help other people. And we're trying to find ways to just give them opportunities to mentor other people in the program that are a little bit behind them so that they can, you know, share their joy and help somebody else feel better and make it through the next kind of phase of their protocol or their journey. But go ahead.
It's a great space. It's a great chance to meet people. I mean, Mickey and I wouldn't have this dynamo partnership without the online world, right, Mickey?
Yep, totally. We are a product of that initial connection online.
Yeah, I think I don't think it can be said enough that, you know, reaching out, which I know can be difficult when you're not feeling well, or you're feeling, you know, not particularly friendly when you're not feeling well, but just to know that there's other people going through the same thing or that have been through the same thing and can, you know, can help steer you in the right direction, and finding people that are similar to you as well, that you align with, and that, you know, I know for us with athletes, that's been, you know, really great, is that they, a lot of times they've been told that they can't do the thing that they really love to do, or that might be their livelihood because of whatever it is that they're suffering with. And so to hear that, you know, to hear my husband, Chris, talk about his story and how he's been able to kind of overcome a lot of the stuff and manage a lot of the stuff while still performing at a high level, I think that, you know, goes to show it's important to find your people, you know, because I think we're really lucky now. There's so many resources out there that I think it's important to find the people that you align with and that are going to continually motivate you to, you know, to keep going and move forward. Let's talk about the last bit in the book. Or did we have one more chapter? Did I skip another one? Or did you?
No, skip? We got them.
Okay. But the last bit, I thought the end, the resources, the exercises, some of those things, walk us through what's back there, because I thought that was a really great section.
Yeah, so the first of the kind of the last two chapters is a recipe and meal planning chapter. So even though, you know, the whole book isn't a cookbook and it's not just about food, we did include 30 of our favorite, all new, so you won't find them in our other cookbooks or on our blog, autoimmune protocol compliant recipes. And we made a focus to do one pot when we could, complete meal recipes. So there's no like just a protein and then a salad and things that you need to kind of match and assemble together. Every meal is an entire meal as far as vegetables, fat, and protein. Most of them are one pot. Most of them are very easy. Most of the ingredients you could get at Walmart. You know, we wanted it to be really accessible for people. Of course, you know, shopping local farmers market is great, but we realized that there are plenty of people in parts of the country that really don't have access to fancy ingredients or, you know, a Whole Foods or something like that. So we made that a big focus. And then another thing was just that we wanted everything to be really quick and simple so that people would actually use the recipes. So from that, we created a meal plan for 30 days, a shopping list and everything for people that just kind of want to follow a plan and get right to the food part. And then do you want to talk about the lifestyle guide, Angie? Because you actually are responsible for that contribution.
Yeah. So one of the things that we worked on was a 3-month long lifestyle plan that just shows people how to slowly but surely incorporate all those lifestyle aspects that we talked about, you know, the stress management, the movement, you know, making time for connection with others and the natural world, you know. We realize, I think probably from our work on our own lives, but also with our clients, that trying to kind of like onboard all that stuff into our busy modern lives is extremely overwhelming. And any like AIP long-termers will tell you the truth is that the food is the least difficult of the process, to be honest. And so we try to, you know, kind of work out a way that really intentionally and incrementally helps people get it all in there, you know, without like tomorrow, you now need to have 4 extra hours in your day to do all these, you know, lifestyle things. That's actually really stressful and kind of defeats the purpose. So we took this really, you know, slow and steady approach to helping people work it all in.
Yeah, I think that that's huge. And that's definitely something that I'm going to be pointing people to more, because I think a lot of times it's just what's needed is even if they don't follow it specifically, then either the meal plan or the lifestyle guide, to just see what it looks like, to understand, oh, this is what that means. This is what, because it's, I think it's so difficult in this virtual world that we're living in, and, you know, the way that we work with people, that's, you know, one of the things that's missing is that ability to just observe what someone else is doing and see it in action and understand that it's doable and that it's possible. So I love that that's there, even if it just serves as an example of, oh, that's what you mean when you say, you know, to, you know, a meal plan, that's what these meals look like. That's what, you know, putting it together in a meal plan for a week or a month looks like. That's what, oh, that's how I can gradually find more time in my day to do X, Y, or Z that I could never have planned for on my own. So I really, you know, as somebody who coaches people with this, I'm going to send you a thank you note for that, because I think that's one of the more difficult things is I can point people at blogs, I can point people at recipes, I can point people at lots of different things, but I can't show up at their house and, you know, well, I could, but I don't think many people could afford it, show up at their house and, you know, cook for them for a month and demonstrate everything that I know. And I think that it's a blessing and a curse of this virtual world, right? Like, we have lots and lots of information at our fingertips, but figuring out how to apply it to our current needs it can be really daunting and difficult. So I think that that's a really great addition to this book. So kudos. I think you guys did a really great job on this, and hopefully everybody checks it out, because I have the advanced copy here and it's not in color, which is a bummer, because I can tell these photos are going to be really beautiful when, when they are in color. When's the book out and where can people find it? And are you guys going to do a tour? Can people come and meet you in person?
Yeah. So the book comes out November 1st, 2016. So not too long now. Yeah. And it is available for pre-order. So if you guys listen to this before November 1st, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it's really affordable. It's only like $15. Mm. So hopefully, you know, we really wanted to create a book that people could just use and throw in their bag and, you know, have a little handbook, not too big, not too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. We are considering a book tour. We're not sure yet. So I would say we'll keep you guys posted on our social media. We're at Autoimmune Paleo, autoimmune-paleo.com. We're hoping to do a little book tour.
But don't kill yourselves over it.
We'll probably focus on a few key areas. It's nice for Mickey and I to be able to get together and go see people, though, because, you know, we're running a bi-coastal biz over here, so we don't get chances to be in the same place at the same time with our people very often.
Right. Oh, that's good. I know. I just hate to see these people write these wellness books and then burn themselves out doing
all the publicity. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, you know.
No. We've had moments, but we really have not had that experience writing this book. And I think
that's good.
Partially because we work with a publisher that works with such a long lead time. I think in the beginning we were like, why does it take that long to write a book? And how come you guys can't like get this together and put it to print? Because I mean, we feel like this information is revolutionary and we want people to get it now. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight now, I realize that all of the space has been really nice for us to really continue to practice what we preach and maintain healthy and happy. And, you know, the book comes out in less than 2 months and I'm feeling relaxed and happy. And
that's how it should be. That's really good. I'm proud of you for doing that, because I think that, you know, it's so important to put that first. And like you said, practice what you preach, walk the walk. Well, you guys, this has been fabulous. There's lots of really good information in here. I can't wait to start sending this to everybody that I work with. I think it's a fabulous guide and I think it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you for doing it. Continue to do what you do. Anything else in the works? Anything else you want people to know about or check out?
We have one thing. We just started a podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Complimentary resource for the book. So it's called the Autoimmune Wellness Podcast, and you guys can find it by searching iTunes or through the link on our blog, autoimmune-paleo.com. But basically, you know, because we did create this handbook that is very concise, and it's not tiny, but it's small compared to a lot of other health books, especially ones with lots of pictures and recipes and stuff, we weren't really able to go in depth about our personal healing stories. Mm-hmm. And so we created this podcast as a way to go through all of these chapters and tell our personal stories that we struggled with and how we overcame them. And then we all interview an expert chapter to go a little deeper than we went in the book. So it's a great resource, whether or not you have the book, but you know, it does kind of follow along with all those chapters. And it's just been a really fun thing for Angie and I to kind of be able to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek on kind of how we dealt with all of those elements.
I think that's great. It's such a nice format too. I think it's a nice change of pace when you're used to doing a lot of, you know, writing and things like that. I think the podcasts are a nice outlet, a nice change of pace.
It's very personal. Mm-hmm. You know, people can really get to know you. And I think Angie and I have really struggled with, since healing and recovery, it's hard to put into words and in the written form, kind of what we experienced and what we went through. And people see us now, and I think it's really easy for them to just assume that, you know, it was easy for us or that it happened really quickly, and they don't really realize the 5 or 6 years of struggle and for, you know, some elements, ongoing struggle in some areas. So that's been really helpful to be able to share that in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. And I think people just always like learn and attach and take away much more from a personal story than they do, you know, and antidotes than they do, you know, just written directions and, you know, prescription for what to do. So I think that that's important. I think if you're going to follow along with the book and use the book, I think I would definitely recommend checking out the stories, because I think they can be really powerful and another way of connecting, which is something we already talked about and how important it is.
Sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being with me. And if you're listening to this and you're an athlete and you're struggling and you're not feeling well and you want to do some troubleshooting, get in touch and I will help you work your way through the Autoimmune Wellness Handbook and various other things. Thank you guys so much for being with me today. And hopefully one of your book tour stops will be somewhere in Northern California and I can see you both in person.
Thanks so much, Julie.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.